Let's go back to England. 17 caps. First game against Wales.
Yeah.
Twickenham.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you remember of that?
It was probably the most important day in my life, really, because you know, it was a cap, and it was much. It was coveted. Everybody, the fuss and bother that went on around it, because there was two of us, myself and Alan Brim, were capped that day, and we lost the game 12-3 or 12-6 or something like that. And but what impressed me about it was all the way we prepared for the game on the old Stoop Memorial Ground. We trained and did it. They did things I'd never seen before defensively and all that. And one of the moves was that when JPR comes in, the fullback would come in and take him, and the winger would stay out and take the winger. And we did very right up till that. After the second half, JPR comes in and Bob Hiller missed him. And Bob Hiller was the one who was running all the training sessions. So I remember saying to myself, "Oh, you know, we've been practicing that all week." And then they kicked the goal and that won the game. But nonetheless, I was happy with my performance. I thought I'd play again, and I did. But the overall feeling I have about the England team at that time was I don't think the selection of the team was right. I thought it was, if you had the same two centres 2 weeks running, you all went down the pub for a drink. You know, there were lots of changes, then no one was settled. You know, although that was a great time for me, and I can't say I was treated badly by England, because they took me to New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, on all the tours I was included, so I enjoyed that. We did better on tours than we did at home. And to be honest with you, the highlight was to beat South Africa in South Africa. I was the reserve against the All Blacks when we beat them the following year, so I played in the provincial games. But really, I played 30-odd games for England, if you look at all the games I played on tours. I only had 17 caps, but you know, I was disappointed at the team we had in the 70s. It wasn't... six of that team come out to be British Lions, which means, obviously, we had a decent level of player. But six, there was the two props, Cotton and myself, went Neary, Alan Old, Ripley, and... I can't think of the other one is now. But six of that team went on to become Lions. And it was hard to be an Alliance team because it was the best of all four. They only took 30 players. They take 60 now, don't they? Mm. Well, to be in the top 30, you had to be going some. And really, to come out of an England team that wasn't performing well, I thought it was a remarkable thing to do, really, for those six lads. Just wish I could remember all of them. but that was how I felt about it in the end of it. I was so grateful. I still got the shirt and I kept the cap and all that and put it in a frame, and like most people do, and I got it at home, and so I value it, and it was, that day was a wonderful day even though we lost.
At the end of that season, you went off to South Africa on the tour. Any other memories of that?
Well, it was the first time I'd been anywhere, and to land there and realise that you were as important as a Premiership footballer would be here. You know, we were massive news. We went to, we got to the airport at 10 o'clock in the morning. We had, because of the, it was in the apartheid era, there was airspace that we couldn't travel over. So we stopped in Luanda, and it put hours on the flight. You know, we get there the next one, they say, "Oh, don't worry." And you know, we travelled, typical, nowadays they put tracksuits on. We travelled in number ones, white shirts, England ties, blazers, flannels, and we hadn't been to bed all night. So we land at 10:30, and they take us from the Jan Smuts Airport straight to Transvaal versus Northern Transvaal, which was being played that afternoon. And we're all like this, falling asleep sort of thing, you know, and... we saw the game, and I looked at the two of them and thought, well, if this is the provincial rugby, well, what's the internationals going to be? Because it was really fast, big scrummage in Transvaal, Northern Transvaal, 100,000 people watched a provincial match. And I think it was designed or calculated to put us off our stroke or to intimidate us in some way, because it was very impressive the way they played. And then we settled down, we went down to Durban, and we played the first game there, and we won that. Then we went to Western Province, and we beat them in Cape Town, and then we played a series of... We went to the to play in the townships against the coloured teams, but it was wrong, because they had definitions there. There was a black team and a coloured team. Right now it's not politically correct to be talking in those terms, but that's what it was like then. And of course, the South African authorities said, this is great because these boys are playing against coloured and black players. But the truth is, we played it, but we didn't analyse or think about it because that was what was wrong with it. We had to play them separately. And that obviously, you wouldn't subscribe to that. You want to play the best, no matter what colour they are. And but they put up stern resistance. We played the Proteas and won 11-6, something like that. And the Bantus was a big score, but blimey, they were hard men, they were. And we played them again. I played in the corresponding game for the Lions. So when Alan Old was tackled, he never played again.
Yeah.
Never played again. So it just goes to show the commitment they showed and the strength of the rugby there, you know.
Yeah. How conscious were you of the, you know, sort of anti-apartheid
position? A girl came to me in Richmond when we played Richmond. And she's obviously from a university, and she had the duffel coat, standard duffel coat and all that, and asked me not to go. Oh no, that was a Lions thing actually. Sorry, I'm just trying to get this two mixed up. But at the time, I did 72 or 74 tours there, so I was very much aware of it when it by the time we got to the Lions thing. And John Taylor, the Wales and London Scottish flanker, decided not to go in 68. We went in 68, but didn't go again. Something I don't think he was available for that tour for that reason. So people could make their choice and decide what they're going to do. I thought, look, I'm going to go. And I'll make my own mind up about where it is and what it's about. When I got there, there were what I call petty apartheid. Like there was a seat for a black man and a seat for a white man in a park or on a beach. There was an area of the beach was for a black man and for different areas. So you couldn't accept that here. You know, obviously it was wrong. And he said, well, shall I go and ask them now why they do this? And I said, but they were quite good in the terms of South Africans. We went to the townships and we played two games and we went around Soweto and all that. They showed us so bad. And on the way from the airport, you can't miss it. There's a huge sort of shanty town of these people who are clearly underprivileged with it. But the South African of that time, they're very generous people and they all had good homes with swimming pools and good weather. And on Sundays, we'd be invited to a house somewhere. So one of the committee men or one of the chaps would say, do you want to come? And you'd eat steaks like you'd never, they couldn't, I didn't know they'd have steaks that size. You know, a bit of springbok meat, a bit of rice and this sort of gravy stuff. We got quite used to their style of doing it. But they all said in their first question to us, welcome. That was the first thing. And then, what do you think about country? Now, you've got to think, they must have had a bit of inferiority complex at the time, because if I went to your house and you put the cup of tea down on the table with a biscuit, you wouldn't say, what do you think of my house? You wouldn't say that, would you? And I noticed that question being asked time and time again because they were uncertain of themselves and they wanted to know what the outside world thought. But one of the prime movers in the campaign to get apartheid terminated was Morne du Plessis. He was the Springbok captain and he was the number 8 in Western Province that day we played, my first game that was. And he said that they were on tour here at Springboks, he said, and there was petty things, people chaining themselves to the doors and demonstrators doing this, he said, but do you know what, by the second tour, I think it was, it might have been the second game, but he'd seen some of it and thought it was bad that they should be treated this way. And then he said, well, look, you know, he said, every time I turn up now, I'm beginning to think, he said, everywhere we go, they're all against us. They're all against us. So he said, we have to now look at ourselves and see what's wrong with us. Because they've been brought up in a different atmosphere altogether, where they have this bundle of humanity that were just different to them, and they thought, well, we're not going to live with them, they're going to go there, and we're going to be a bit, really, in a way, if you look at the social structures here, the posh people live in Cranham and the other people live somewhere else. So in a sense, although it's not a skin or colour thing, they do tend to live in their groups, in their groupings. And what he decided was that he'd work towards the end of apartheid, and I think the campaign they had to bring it to an end through sport was successful ultimately, but I didn't have any regrets about going there. I didn't subscribe to it, I wasn't against it, and when I analysed it, it was right that it was finished.